for Parshas Zohar, which is in Yisrael. But it's an area of most people have a misunderstanding, simply because it's a kind of thing that we don't spend time really learning too much about, and like we do about Tfilah or Shabbos or Tzom. But we just usually go by the way it's done in shul, and usually have the chazan or shas announcers. They should have the morning, the yotzei, parshas ocho, the tzara, shemini, ka'ona, and that's it. But this whole procedure of being yotzei, the tzara, shemini, ka'ona, and viewing parshas ocho as a deraisa is not a simple matter. It's not a very simple matter. If you really study the sources, you'll see that there is almost no source for it. Okay, there's almost no source for it. So I'll explain to what I mean by no source. And there's a rough quote of Rav Chaim Brisker saying that there's no source. But without using authority, I'll show you what is meant by there's no source. Okay? The Ramban. Okay? The Ramban says on Zohar, he says like this. So he says, he quotes us a three that says there's two things that you shouldn't forget it in your heart, what Amalek did, and then he says also Zohar, that you must enunciate it verbally, Shona b'chicha. Okay, v'chein b'sifri Zohar s'shosol ha'amalek b'peh lo s'shach b'lev. And Rabbi says v'lo yadati ma'ya tfira zil b'peh. He says, I don't know what that means to remember it verbally. In Lomar Shenikra Parshas Amalek B'tzibur, if it means that we should read the Parsha of Amalek publicly, B'tzibur, then in Tzino Lumidin Min HaTorah B'Shniya Zohar, so it comes out when you B'Shniya Zohar, the Mishnah says that you have to read Parsha Zohar the second one of the weeks. Okay, so he says V'Yiyasmach L'Mikra Megillah Min HaTorah. So if that's the case, even Mikra Megillah is Min HaTorah. He says, of course, Mikra Megillah is Mechias Amalek, it's all about Amalek. So the Ramban says, but I don't know. He says, I don't know if that's what it means. And then he says, V'anachom be'inai, what I really believe is true, she'u lo mashlo sishkach mashe osu lo namalek. That we shouldn't forget what Amalek did to us, that she'nimcha shimo mitach ha'shamayim, so we should destroy him. V'nesape zel avonenu l'dorasenu lo molen kachas olano arasha l'kach mistavinu l'mcha shimo. By the way, Amalek can be chos v'chuvah, it's not very bad. We're talking about a moment that's not chos v'shul. So the mitzvah is to remove a moment from existence. But the Ramban says, first he starts off and says, I don't know what the schir is. And he says, is it reading Parsha Zohar? He says, but no, I don't think so. He says, I really think it's the idea that we shouldn't forget what a moment did to us, and we should remember and we should enunciate verbally what Amalek did. What exactly this means is very vague. I mean, when you read the first part of Ramban, you feel happy because there's a structure there. But then in the end he says, what is it? So he says, it's similar, he says, to remembering what happened to Miriam. Okay? He says, "Shenisavino bilav anelo sapol der." So after she wrote Gamla Stira, he says, "Truth matters, the Torah should have hid that about Miriam, because shalom adaber b'gdusa shel tzaddikim. Because you don't, even though a tzaddik does something wrong, the Gemara says tzaddik doesn't have error. So he shouldn't think about it because he did tshuva. So why should Miriam definitely did tshuva? So why should we mention this?" So Ramban says, because of the importance of not speaking Lashon Hara, because it creates terrible evil and people are always involved in it and people can't get away from it, so the Torah really went out of its way and the cover and the honor of Miriam was overlooked because of this importance. It's similar to that kind of analysis. That's what Ramban says. Okay. That's why Rav Chaim said there's no source. Because if there were a source, the Ramban would have known about it. The sources of Torah Shebaal Peh were known to the Rishonim. The Ramban himself does not have it at all as a mitzvah for reading Parsha Zohar. And Rashi on the Gemara and Megillah, when he talks about on the Mishnah and the Chofetz Chaim, does not mention anything about it when he's talking about when you read the Parsha Zohar. If he held it was the Raisa, he would have definitely said, Kriya is in the Raisa, but he never said that. So it would seem from the Rishonim, these Rishonim, that it's definitely not the Raisa. It's just an ordinary Kriya. But where do we get the idea that it's the Raisa? Tosfos. Tosfos says that it's the Kriya is in the Raisa. Okay. So the question is, where did Tosfos, that's why I say when we say there's no source for it, it's not the same thing as saying it's not the Raisa. There could be no source for something, but it can still be the Raisa. How's that possible? No source means there's no overt source for it. But a Rishon can come along and between the lines, dig it out. You say, it's here. You see, that doesn't, there is no source, there's no Gemara on it. But a Rishon could say, no, it was always here, and here's where it is. He can show you where it is. So that's the concept of a source. It's not, if you have no source, it doesn't necessarily mean there's no mitzvah like that. Tosfos agreed there's no source, but he found it in the Torah as a mitzvah. And the question is, how did Tosfos find this? But before we get to that, let me just take the Rambam. The mitzvah point to the Rambam. And it's important to know the mitzvah point to the Rambam and the Ramban, by the way, they both agree on the concept. That says, a person must always remember Amalek's evil deeds and his ambush. I think what he means is, in order to arouse in ourselves the realization of his hatred. Because he goes on, he says, okay. So it means you must never forget the hatred that Amalek has for us. Okay, but he breaks it down to two components. One is Masov, the deeds of Amalek, and those were, and the second thing he says is the ambush. What is the significance of these two concepts, the deeds and the ambush? Actually, in the Torah, it's reversed. When the Torah says, Asher korcho baderech, it means he ambushed you on the road, by yizaneh b'chokol nechashol macharach. And that's the deed. So the Torah, without going into the Midrash, goes into other details of what they did, the horrors that they did. But the Torah just says one thing. This gives you a framework. It says, "Vayizane b'chokol nechashol macharach." It means they attacked the weak and the sick. So the hatred is such that it's one which is bound with unmitigated cruelty and incompassion. You see. Rashi quotes a Chazal that says that they cut off their they castrated them, they threw the mules to Shemayim. So to show that there's no significance to their practices of Nebuchadnezzar, which shows cruelty and also the motivation, which means Amalek is the nation that can't tolerate the existence of Bar Yisrael. That's why our Chaim said that Amalek is not not necessarily a descendant from Amalek. It's any nation that takes that position, like the Germans did. And that is Amalek, and it's a prototype. So the mitzvah is never to delude yourself into thinking that this type of animosity towards the Jew does not exist. That would be a big mistake. You'd be naive. You'd be foolish to do that. So the Torah insists that we remember that, as crazy as it sounds, there are people that have a crazy kind of hatred, an insane hatred, and will do anything to destroy us. Interesting is Rashi says, Asher korcho baderech, he gives a different shot. He says they cooled off the pot, because if a pot has boiling water, so everybody's afraid to touch it. But a person puts his hand in, even though he gets hurt, but when he pulls it out, people aren't that afraid anymore. There's a certain... There's a reality kind of mitigates the fear. So that's what Amalek did. Amalek came against us, and now people aren't afraid anymore to do battle with Klal Yisrael, because there was an aura around Klal Yisrael. If that interpretation is correct, according to Rashi, what it means is that they knew basically that they would be defeated. Because you see, that's just the result of what they did. They really came to kill us. So what does mean a shekorcha means it must be an attribute of Amalek? How is it an attribute of Amalek? That's just what happened. They really, that wasn't their intention. Their intention was to kill us. According to Napshat and Rashi, they knew they would lose, and they still did it just to remove the aura that Klal Yisrael had as the nation that was led by God out of Egypt. So, and we saw that again in Nazi Germany, where they diluted the war effort and kept the concentration camps going. Because the hatred for the Jew is so great that even though it'll mean their own death, but they will still do it in order to destroy the Jew. That's the kind of sick hatred that they have. And the Torah insists that we study this, know this, never forget. Okay? That's Masa Hara. That's the mitzvah. The second thing there is Arivaso, the ambush. What is the ambush? I mean, an ambush is a part of warfare. We use ambush too. We use ambush. So what is special about the concept of ambush? The concept of ambush is that you can have people that hate you and want to destroy you in the worst way, but many times the hatred is so great that they'll just be guided by the hatred. You see. But the Torah is telling you that that's not true by Amalek. Because Amalek didn't attack the Jews when they went out of Egypt right away. But they waited to receive them for the ambush, which means that they're calculated and intelligent, and their hatred is subordinated to intellect. And that is the nature of the enemy of Amalek. That is represented in Nazi Germany. The answer is Nazi Germany and Haman is identical in the structure and the prototype that the Torah has identified here. And that is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to understand and to know who you are dealing with. That, according to the Rambam, when is this mitzvah? Every opportunity you have. You should never delude yourself. When times a person doesn't want to feel that they have such terrible enemies, people aren't that bad, you want to feel naive, that's an issue for us. Now I do. And whenever the opportunity arises to speak about this, you are supposed to. So that's why the shir on this is a separate mitzvah in itself. Okay. That's the Rambam. That's what the Rambam. The Rambam never had the idea of Pasha Zahav as being the direction. And this is what the Rambam really means. This is the mitzvah for us. So, where did Tosfos get the idea that Pasha Zahav is the direction? I think it's from the Gemara Megillah. Because the Gemara Megillah says that they were hard put to write the Megillah. Esther said, write the Megillah and write it as Kisvei Kodesh. And the Chachamim said that we can't do this. Frame shot, like the result of the Gemara is that Shlomo HaMelech already said that you can't just write Kisvei Kodesh. I mean, the Torah has about Amalek, and the Torah has about Amalek twice in the Torah itself. So Zosikon Basefer. So it's twice in the Torah and once in Shmuel, once in the Nun. And you can't exceed that. You can't, in our system, exceeding is bad. You have to leave it the way it is. So they told Esther, they said, you can't, you're not allowed to write the Gemara. And Rashi learns that Shalisha means you're only allowed to have three times. And that's once is in B'Shalach, and once is in Kisaytzen, and once is in Shmuel. So Gemara says, so they were not going to do it, but till they found the pasuk that says "Ksov Zosi Karam Basefer," so they dash in the pasuk as follows: "Ksov" means what's written in Mishalach; "Zos" what's written in Kisete, in the Parsha Zohar; "Zikaron" is what's written in Shmuel, like what we learned yesterday in Shmuel, and Basefer that's the Megillah. So what does this mean? I mean, it sounds like you just open up a pasuk and you just find what you want and you just write it and go. What is the concept? The concept, I think, is as follows. Nekselzosikonba Sefer is a strange statement. What do you mean, Selzosikonba Sefer? It's part of the Torah. Of course, it's not written in the Sefer. It's part of the Torah. So, what does the Torah mean when the Torah says Selzosikonba Sefer? The Torah meant that the reason why this parsha is written is not like the other parshas in the Torah, but it's because of the nature of Hamalek. The nature of Hamalek is Machayavus to write this parsha. And that's so. Write down the story of Melchemes Amalek. Okay. Second is Zos. Because of the nature of Amalek, we must have a mitzvah, a Pasha Zohar, that it's written in the Torah. Okay. Zikaron means when the Dvar Hashem, when the Nevuah came to Shmuel to tell Saul that he should destroy Amalek, that was because of the nature of Amalek, that must be recounted in another. Okay. And then they said Basefer. What does Basefer mean? Sefer means sipur. It means a story. So what it means is when a story comes about in Kol Yisrael that involves the Amalek, that also demands that it be written. An event because of the nature of Amalek. So the nature of Amalek is Machayev. In the two parshas in the Torah, it's Machayev in recounting the Navi. And it's Machayev that when an event happens in Kol Yisrael on a grand scale, that this must be recorded as Kisvei HaKodesh. Why? Because of the unusual nature of Amalek. See, Amalek is unusual in two ways. It's unusual because these people have an insane hatred for the Jew, because he represents the one that's chosen by God. And the second thing about Amalek is, interestingly enough, is in the first account of the Shalach, it says, Vayachalosh Yoshua, Samolek, Samolek, Yichor. It doesn't say he destroyed them. Why didn't he totally wipe them out? Why didn't he totally destroy them? But he weakened them and let them survive. Rashi says, Mikan Shoy Alpiyat Dibor. That was Alpiyat Dibor. That was the Ashkach of God. God told him what to go. Why? I believe the reason is that Amalek is a mitzvah that's based on a condition. But it's unfortunately guaranteed that until you Yemos HaMashiach, that condition is going to prevail. Because of the nature of Amalek. So that's why the event itself, it's a strange mitzvah. Because the mitzvah doesn't stretch its hand out from the Torah to time beyond. That's the Torah has something different in Gula, but not in terms of mitzvah. But over here, the mitzvah is based, the very primary mitzvah of Amalek is based on the nature of Amalek. And that's why the Torah says, Basefer wasn't a prediction of the Megillah. Basefer was that if an event occurs on a grand scale that involves Kol Yisrael and Amalek, it must be written out Basefer. And the first time that came along was by Esther. I said, that's why they have to write. So the nature of the mitzvah is based on the phenomenon of Amalek. So the phenomenon generates, when it occurs, it generates a mitzvah. And it generates Kisvei Kodesh. You see? That's why Tosfos, you see. Because that's what Tosfos gets his idea from. See, the Ramban is interesting too, because Ramban says that the mitzvah is Parsha Zohar. And then Kriyas Megillah. So what was the mitzvah before? What happened before? Before Mordechai and Esther? Where was the mitzvah then? But the answer is that the mitzvah took on a different form the moment the event took place. Because that's the nature of the mitzvah, Amalek. It's based upon Amalek's existence and his interaction with Kol Yisrael. And that interaction generates a mitzvah. So once the event took place, the Basefer came into being, came into existence, so it was Machayev in Kisvei Kodesh, in the Sefer of Esther, and also the mitzvah of reading Parshat Zohar, heralding the Kriya of the Megillah, and showing the source for it, you see, also became activated. That's how Parshat Zohar coined the Tesis. Became a mitzvah midoraisa. What was it before? It could be, you can't enforce no mitzvah. Before it could have been through the process of Kriyas HaTorah Kol HaShana Kula. But the moment the event took place, the event produced, it brought into prominence the institution of Megillah made it halacha kentzi, and therefore the Bas Sefer itself, that's why the Ramban says that according to his chat, the Kriyas of Megillah also is the rest. Because that's, you're fulfilling the race of Zohar. The Taisus disagreed with the Ramban. And the reason why Taisus disagreed was that Taisus could not conceive of a mitzvah midaraisa that has a text midaravan. That the text was created, it's true, it's created the Ruach HaKodesh, it's Ruach HaKodesh, true. But the institution was mandated by the Rabban. So Taisus could not construe that an entity that's not from the Torah itself should be a text that's not from the Torah itself should be a mitzvah midaraisa. But the Ramban didn't have a problem with it. Ramban maintained that even though it's Kisei Kodesh, Kisei Kodesh is an institution of the Raisa. The Ramban maintained that even Kriyas HaMegillah is actually, would be, according to his understanding, would be a mitzvah of the Raisa. Of course, he concludes like the Ramban, but that was his first. From the Ramban's first approach, you see Tosfos' approach. Tosfos' approach was really Ramban's approach. Same approach. But Tosfos concluded like Ramban's first approach, whereas Ramban himself concluded like the Ramban's final approach. The mitzvah on us to always be wary and always to never to forget and always to verbalize the hatred that Amalek has for us. Okay, we'll stop here. Rail Hamburger, everybody.